White Aryan Resistance Radio calling. White Aryan Resistance Radio calling. This is Tom Metzger, Terrible Tommy, in the bunker right here in North Central Indiana on an overcast day here in North Central Indiana, but no rain yet today. How about that? And the date is October 30th. One more day. And this is 2014, the year. And this is Thor's Day. I love the sound of that. Thor's Day. I love it. Love it. Wotan sounds cool, but I like Thor a little better. Sure beats the hell out of that Yahshua stuff and the Jesus. Well, I see they're sending more troops over to Africa, and I'll bet you they're going to try to send as many white young men over there as they can. And guess what? When you send white horny troops anywhere in the world, what do? They screw. And guess what you're going to get back? What are they going to bring back? Well, Ebola, syphilis, gonorrhea, and much of diseases we never heard of. And the ones that are married, guess what they're going to be bringing back to their wives? Won't that be cool? Some kind of an incurable disease. You don't think that's all by accident, do you? You don't think they're doing that, sending these guys over there for the goodness of their heart to help the black people? Like General Montgomery said way back, sent a memo to the Queen, delete the blacks from South Sahara and turn that whole damn place into a national, international park. That's one thing that Montgomery said that I agreed with. Boy, this Kurdish-Turkish thing is the craziest-ass thing you've ever seen, if you're watching it at all. Now, the Turks are scared to death of the Kurds overthrowing their government, which they've tried to do. They actually have a rebel army, the Kurds, inside Turkey. But now, because of ISIS and this screwed-up mess, Turkey is allowing Kurdish reinforcements to go across Turkey to fight ISIS. It's madness. It's not only a national madhouse, it's a world madhouse. If you read the news, you don't understand what the fuck is going on. I guess this is what I call chaos. And chaos can serve our purposes. I think it probably serves our purposes as much, maybe in the long run, as it does the ruling class. Now, those Kurdish troops are headed to the Syrian city of Kobani via Turkey to aid a Kurdish militia battling the Islamic State. What about poor Assad over there? Everybody's fighting everybody, and they're all fighting Assad. I think he's a pretty sympathetic character as far as I'm concerned, poor old Assad. Well, I see Germany, of course, has been in there right with the rest ever since Iraq, the first Iraq invasion. But I see now that everything's torn to hell over there, Germany now is pledging $635 million over the next 3 years to help Syria's neighbors cope with the influx of refugees. I wonder if the German people vote on this shit. Would you vote on this stuff? The only thing I'd vote on is getting everybody from Europe out of the Middle East, period. Absolutely everybody. And stay out. Here's one of the jokers of the week, our Thursday joke. NATO head said the NATO alliance, wants a better relationship with Russia. But Moscow must help improve ties. That's from the Daily New York Urinal. Do you believe that? NATO's doing everything they can to bug Russia, to push Russia into some kind of a conflict. Now they say they want better relations. Well, what they mean is if Russia surrenders, they'll have better relations. Yeah, if she decides not to defend herself. Don't you think that's interesting, all these politicians that normally are crying about, we need more money for the infrastructure, we need more money for the schools, we need more money for this and that. But right now, they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars on half-term elections. You know, they're so obvious. There's total transparency to these politicians. You see right through them to the crooked core. Well, here's an interesting piece of information. It's going to thrill all you people that want more brown skin into this country, or North America, period. In June, Luis Alberto Juan Leo and his pregnant wife, Jordana Bravo Perez, flew from Cuba to Ecuador as tourists. It was the first leg in a circuitous journey that ended when they crossed the border from Mexico into the U.S., where they are building a new life. An influx of illegal aliens from Central America drew wide attention recently, but more than 22,000 Cubans, non-white Cubans, entered the U.S. over land in the year that ended on September 30th, twice as many as in the previous year. An additional 3,940 sought to reach the U.S. along maritime routes, nearly double the previous year and the highest number since 2008. Helping to fuel the exodus are the Cuban government's easing of travel restrictions to get rid of its riffraff for its citizens last year and a general lack of hope among Cubans for the country's economic prospects, as long as the stupid goddamn United States government keeps a blockade on Cuba instead of normalizing relations. If they did, the economy would improve quickly in Cuba and these people wouldn't be trying to come here. People are growing frustrated with the depth and pace of the economic reforms in Cuba. The U.S. also has loosened restrictions on visas for Cubans who arrive by air as tourists. Well, some of them are believed to remain in the U.S., probably all of them. About 30,000 of these visas were issued in the fiscal year ending September 30th, 2013. Officials in the Cuban interest section, the country's consular presence in Washington, D.C., didn't return calls seeking comment. Cuban migrants to the U.S., migrants, enjoy special treatment. The Cold War-era Cuban Adjustment Act of 1966 allows those who touch U.S. soil to remain here rather than be deported. They're eligible for some benefits that are accorded to refugees fleeing persecution. After a year, they can apply for permanent residency or a green card, and if they've got about $12,000, they can buy a citizenship. The number of new Cuban arrivals pales next to the 130,000 or so Central Americans that cross into the U.S. illegally in the latest fiscal year, or the estimated 125,000 Cubans that come by sea in 1980's Mariel Botla. But the land crossings open a new chapter in Cuban flight to the U.S. Experts expect arrivals to keep climbing because the U.S. government doesn't really give a shit. They just pretend, play, and you hear a lot of words, but that's about it. Welcome to Brown America. Yeah, baby. Well, I see New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, Fat Tony, lovingly referred to, is sitting on $800 million meant for disaster relief. I guess he's going to use it to try to run for president. How about that? Well, I see the corrupt and crooked Koch brothers have tried to slip the weenie to Jon Stewart, the Jew, on his comedy show by buying ad time on his show. And he, so John Stewart, I guess, is coming back at him. Let's see what John, what the hell's going on here.
You know what? I want to tell you, for the past couple of nights, we have noticed there is a new advertiser on the Daily Show program. No, it's not Arby's. They know they don't have to pay us for their numerous mentions. Arby's. For when you're wondering what it tastes like when a cow dies. Anyway, let's meet our new sponsor.
Koch Industries started in the heartland. We help make better food, clothing, shelter, technologies, and other necessities. We build on each other's ideas to create more opportunities for people everywhere. We are Koch.
Wow, that's the kind of an ad that a company usually makes when it turns out a byproduct of their manufacturing process is giving young pubescent males talking nipples. But you know, who are these lovable scamp Koch brothers?
Two of the world's richest billionaires, David Koch and his brother Charles, control Koch Industries, a global energy and manufacturing giant.
Oh, so it's a family business, kind of a mom and pop, second largest privately held corporation in the country. The point is this, two brothers working together. I like that, unless it's obviously the Menendez brothers, and then. These are not those kinds of brothers, am I right?
They've used that wealth to back conservative causes.
The billionaire brothers are expected to spend some $290 million these midterms, mostly through their complicated web of dark money organizations.
Wow, I can see why they want to portray their people as working in a smile factory or as baby tailgaters. If you can smell this, you're too close. 1-800-HOW'S-MY-POOPY-DIAPER. Wow. So now that we know the Koch brothers are pouring an unending waterfall of money through a cleverly masked network of unaccountable organizations to peddle electoral influence, the ad sounds less inspiring.
We've expanded to nearly every state. Together, we are Koch.
All those who aren't Koch will be assigned to District B.
The point is, clearly the Koch brothers are trying to say to our audience of not yet dying off voters, even though you may have heard certain things about the Koch brothers, how bad could they be? I mean, if they were evil, would a baby agree to appear in one of their advertisements? But of course, their ad did leave out a couple of very, very small points, most likely for lack of time. So to welcome them to the Daily Show advertising family, we did make some minor adjustments.
We're Koch Industries, not just an energy company. We're in your food, in your pants, and in your home. And if there's a way to monetize your thoughts, we'll find it. All while backing 17 shadow organizations to buy elections from Pennsylvania Avenue to Main Street. You won't always see our names on our campaign ads because the politicians we own say that's okay. With our heartfelt devotion to fossil fuels, we make your planet warmer and your water more flammable while lubricating your birds and rearranging your polar bears. We can't raise your little girl for you, but we can handpick her school board and approve her textbooks. And when she lands her first job, we'll be fighting to reduce the minimum wage because we actually believe it could lead to Nazism. Yeah, Nazism. We're that out there. We're Koch Industries, the next generation of robber barons, bending the democratic process to our will since 1980. Oh, and our brother David likes ballet.
Welcome. We'll be right back.
You know, I love it when the pot calls the pan black, even if the plant pan is black. It's the Koch brothers on one side and George Soros on the other side. But I don't see the comedians making much fun of Soros. What's that all about? Could it be that he's, pardon me, Jewish, one of the Hebrew faith? I'm sure he controls at least as much as the Koch brothers. But either way you go, it's kleptocracy. Yeah, it's kleptocracy. And neither side's on our side, so a pox upon their house. Well, 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 here's a story. A North Carolina teacher is under investigation for racist remarks students said she made in class. Oh. Cynthia Ramsey, who teaches math at Camden County High School, was speaking to a student eating lunch in the classroom when she discussed an item on her bucket list. The student's mother said, quote, "She conveyed to me that Ms. Ramsey had indicated that if she only had 10 days to live, that she would kill all black people," unquote. Mother Kimberly Ashford told WAVTV. Ashcraft said that other students were nearby when Ramsey made the comment. Quote, "I was completely shocked," Ashcraft said. "I asked her again, 'Are you sure that is what you heard?' I could not have imagined a teacher saying that, even though we all think that way." The sheriff told the TV station that other students confirmed the details and Ramsey was suspended without pay. You can't be a white racist. You can be a black racist, but forget about being a white racist. But she was back on the job after a couple of days, Ashcraft said. "I was very disappointed to hear that she was back in the classroom so soon. If she'd have said, 'If I had 10 days, I'd kill all the white people,' that'd have been all right. But this just ain't right." Wow. Let's see here. Is there more to this story? The superintendent said the district would thoroughly investigate the incident, but all findings would be confidential until the case was resolved because it's considered a personal matter. The county sheriff said he has turned over evidence in the case to the district attorney, who will then decide whether Ramsey will face unspecified criminal charges for free speech. Wow. Interesting story. Saying what most people think. I mean, good people.
Working with experts.
Local teacher is under investigation tonight for allegedly saying racist comments in the classroom. She was put on suspension, but now she's back on the job. 10 of Your Side's Jason Marks is looking into why she is still teaching.
It is very disturbing.
For one Camden County mother, the disturbing happened a couple weeks ago when her daughter told her about a conversation with a math teacher at Camden County High School.
That's when she conveyed to me that Ms. Ramsey had indicated that if she only had 10 days to live, that she would kill all black people.
Kimberly Ashcraft's daughter was in Cynthia Ramsey's classroom eating lunch. Ashcraft says there were several other students around when Ramsey allegedly made the racist remarks.
I was completely shocked. I mean, I asked her again, "Are you sure that's what you heard?" I could not have imagined a teacher saying that.
Ramsey is a math teacher and head of the math department at the school. You can see her here with her competition team. Ashcraft went to the principal about the alleged racist threat.
And I conveyed to my daughter that this is a very serious allegation and I need confirmation that this in fact did happen.
School officials began an investigation. Even the sheriff's office was called in to help. The sheriff tells 10 on Your Side several of the students told the same story. Ramsey was placed on suspension with pay, and after a couple days was back in the classroom.
I was very disappointed to hear that she was back in the classroom so soon.
The superintendent tells 10 on Your Side the main concern is to investigate the incident thoroughly and collect all the facts. The sheriff says he's turned over all his evidence to the district attorney, who will decide if the teacher should face any charges.
But as a parent, I felt compelled to come forward and tell somebody because this was not only, in my opinion, a direct threat to, you know, the black children in the school, but black people in the community.
In Camden County, Jason Marks, 10 on Your Side.
Her case will be discussed by the school board during its November meeting.
Well, you might make note that the mother who got her tits in a ringer and panties all wrapped up. Weighs about three. She's white. That figures. She weighs about 300 pounds. And if I had to make a bet of $5, I think I'd bet that her husband may be black and the kids, her kids, octoroon. But not necessarily. But anyhow, that's what goes on in the mind of these pickle-headed white people. They should give her a medal for the teacher for being honest. And most white people are hypocrites, and they may whisper it to somebody behind the scenes, or they may think about it a lot, the same thing, but they're never going to say anything because we wouldn't want to offend the little niggers. And especially, we wouldn't want to offend the nigger-loving little white people. They're the worst. You know, I love it when white politicians, corrupt white politicians, step on their penises. Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina, who recently began floating the idea of running for presidency, was caught on tape joking about how well white men would do if he won. Quote, "I've tried to help you with your tax status." Graham can be heard saying, quote, "I'm sorry the government's so fucked up. If I get to be president, white men in male-only clubs are going to do great in my presidency," unquote. Well, of course, you know what he means. Rich white men in Washington will be doing fine. All the whores they want, all the private clubs they want. They're not talking about you, you bastard. Yeah. Oh, man, we got black Jamaican girls all pissed off here. Officials at an Illinois school said this week that a substitute teacher would not be allowed to work in the school after she allegedly called two students the nigger word because they objected to being called African American. Eighth graders Mia Thompson and Zara Daniel told WMAQ-TV that they were working in a social studies group with two other students at J Stream Middle School last Wednesday when a substitute teacher referred to them as African American. All four of us that were sitting there got offended because none of us are from Africa. Well, originally you were, stupid. Thompson recalled, "I'm Jamaican." So we said, "Can you please not call us that?" She continued to call us that and said, "It's the politically correct term." Then she said, "Well, back then you guys would be considered the nigger word." Thompson and Daniel said that they were almost moved to tears by the teacher's words. Quote, "We were so shocked, and we were like, what? Excuse me. We got a special division of nigger. It's called Jamaican." Thompson replied, she was like, "Well, back then, that's what African Americans were called, because Caribbean Jamaicans did originate from Africa, you stupid bitch." The student said that the teacher continued to use the N-word, that's nigger, throughout the 80-minute class period. They said that she also referred to them as slaves. Well, their background, they were slaves. One student reportedly left the room crying. "I ain't no common Negro, nigger, or African American. I'm upscale. I'm Jamaican nigger." The school district confirmed to WMAQ on Tuesday that the substitute teacher had been interviewed and that she had corroborated a student's version of events. A spokesman for the district told the station that the women would not be asked to work, woman would not be asked to work at the school again. Thompson's mother, Shana, planned to go to the Carroll Stream Police Department on Tuesday to file a report, get that teacher arrested, and to find out if the teacher could be charged criminally with disorderly conduct or a hate crime. Yeah. Don't mess around anymore. After the shock and the hurt, I'm angry, she's saying. I need some money. Make me feel better. It's a new world, and the people of the past that still hang on to hatred and bigotry don't belong in this world anymore. So go out and kill all those white folks. Well, the funny part about it is, historically, the black Jamaicans were slaves brought from Africa into the Caribbean, just like they were brought into the southern states. So nobody seems to understand history anymore.
Sitting there and got offended because none of...
Well, as a proximity threat, I can guarantee you that when and if the shit hits the fan, you have a lot more to fear by these Zionist Christians than you do even the Jews on a personal level. First of all, how many Jews live around in your town? And I've not seen any of them sporting a lot of muscles. Well, the Republican House candidate, Zach Dasher, the Duck Dynasty Klansman, who blamed the Sandy Hook massacre on Richard Dawkins and claimed YOLO was an atheist conspiracy, released a campaign advertisement featuring his famous uncle, Hermit Mehta, reports. In the short video, Duck Commander Philip Robinson can be seen sporting an assault rifle in one hand and a tattered piece of Jewish bullshit, the Bible, in the other. "Hey, Louisiana," he begins, "Bibles and guns brought us here." Well, that's true. "And Bibles and guns will keep us here." Well, maybe. Zach Dasher believes in both. That's why I'm voting for him. Christian fanatics. He loves his family. Well, so what? He's got a servant's heart. In other words, he thinks like a slave. He knows his Bible, and he's a good man. "We vetted him," he says, giving his nephew the thumbs up. The advertisement will air across contested 5th Congressional District from now until Election Day. His opponent, Representative Vance McAllister, another Bible beater, was caught kissing a female aide earlier this year. "Oh my God, that don't happen in the South." McAllister had counted the Robertson family as allies, but last year, Patriarch Phil referred to him as... What did he refer to him as? Referred to him as that dude who fed us a lie and endorsed my little nephew. And then he endorsed his little nephew, who come from the loins of my sister, Dasher said. The latest campaign buy is being fueled by money coming from his family, which has contributed over $100,000 to his bid for office. Let's see here. Let's see this advertisement. This political advertisement the Duck Man put out.
"Bibles and guns brought us here, and Bibles and guns will keep us here. Zach Dasher believes in both. That's why I'm voting for it."
I'm Zach Dasher, and I approve this message.
Now, you got to watch it, mixing racial separation with religion, because they don't mix. If you'll read the Bible, Quran, Judaism carefully, you'll know that. So you got to watch these guys that are a little bit racist, but they're more of the book and all that kind of stuff. So this Duck Dynasty bunch down there are the typical guys you're going to have to watch out for if a shooting breaks out. Because if you happen to be among a lot of these kind of people, it may be all right if you're out there taking care of blacks and all that and Mexicans, but don't mention anything about not believing in the God, man, or you're gonna become a worse enemy than the other enemies. So anyhow, listen to this a little bit on this, and I may piss people off, but I don't care.
Now, we move to a much lighter topic, although one I think that's in a lot of ways just as important, if not more so, mean, this is obviously enormously important in terms of policy, but this is important in terms of your life. Let's go to Duck Dynasty. I know. It sounds ridiculous, right? No, but trust me. Trust me, okay? We got a couple of Duck Dynasty guys in the news. This is going to be relevant to your life because they're going to tell you how to live it. First, we're going to start with Phil Robertson. We got a sermon of his on tape. This ought to be a doozy. He talks about biblical sex.
In matters of, are you ready, sexuality, the Bible says one man, one woman, that's what I made to begin with. For this reason, we have a male and a female. For that reason, those two can come together and be married. You know what those two will never have? They will never have a sexually transmitted disease. You know why? They keep their sex between the two of them. They can't catch a sexually transmitted disease. Biblically correct sex is safe. It's safe. You're not going to get chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, AIDS if you man marries a woman and neither one of you have it and you keep your sex between the two of you. You're not going to get ever a sexually transmitted disease. True or false? Man meets woman, marries her, keeps his sex right there, the children come, the chances of them getting a sexually transmitted disease, would you say, is almost zero? You can say it.
You're almost zero. Who's looking forward?
Well, so far it sounds pretty good, except you don't need that stuff from the Bible. For thousands of years, I'm sure people knew about this kind of a problem. And evidently, they adhered to a common sense type thing. Or they died of syphilis or something like that. But who needs the Bible to tell you this? In fact, I think the Bible would lead you into areas of personal activity that will definitely get you in the league where you'll catch some disease. As the Jews used to sit by the camel trails in the Middle East at one time, the women, and they would offer sex to every camel driver that came down the road from Asia to Europe. And these were the people that were involved in the Bible, the Old Testament. Let's listen to a little more of this. Gotta watch. There's always a hook in this stuff when you're listening to an evangelical, I guess.
Oh, hon, you want to have some biblically correct sex? Ooh, that's hot. I don't think I want the Bible anywhere near me when I'm having sex. I don't want to come biblically correct. Yeah, all right. Look, he could technically be right. I mean, your chance of getting a transmitted disease if you only had sex with one person your whole life and they only had sex with you their whole lives is near zero. Okay. Now, some people will say there's exceptions, yada, yada, but I'll give them that. You've also led a terribly boring life. All right. More from this guy.
You say, why is there so many debilitating, horrible diseases bringing them down all over America and worldwide? Because they say, we're going to follow our orthodox liberal opinion. Just breed anything and anybody. Just have at it. Go for it. Don't be bridled and shackled and live a life of restraint before God Almighty. Don't do that.
I don't know why he has to yell so much. And I don't know why he thinks the Taliban look is in. But anyways, overall, I agree with him. He's right. I say have sex as much as you can in a responsible way and live your life. Have fun. He says don't do that. Only have biblically correct sex. You make the call. I'll take that argument any day. Now, he's not the only member of the Klan who thinks that. I mean, his clan, of course. The Duck Dynasty cousin, Zach Dasher, he's going to sound like the Dukes of Hazzard. And then cousin comes over. Okay, anyway, he's running for Congress, believe it or not, in Louisiana. And he's got some interesting theories about Drake and YOLO. Okay, He thinks YOLO's really bad. You guys know what that is? You only live once, right? It's in a rap song, etc. So first he says, don't get me wrong, don't listen to the song. He says, the lyrics are pornographic, so I would not recommend you download it. I love the idea of these guys listening to a rap song for the first time. What is this? All right. Then he says, but the most dangerous part of YOLO is not the porn lyrics, but the clearly atheistic message that has brainwashed a generation. Oh, interesting. I didn't know Drake was, you know, starting from the bottom, then we went all the way to atheism, and I'm going to brainwash you and do it. Okay, I didn't know he had all that agenda. Okay. So he says, but what about messages in its title? Do we only live once? If atheist is correct, then yes, you only live once. You have about 80 years if you're lucky. Yeah, that sounds about right. Okay, he says this is very dangerous. Okay, why is that? He says it will lead people to, quote, consume as much as you can, for tomorrow you die. Also sounds pretty right. I mean, I wouldn't consume as much as you can today. You got 80 years or so. Pace yourself, right? He says, if this is all there is, I have a bit of advice for you. Go get after it. That's what I say. Yeah, that's right. You should live your life. You know, these guys are huge believers in God, right? That's, they keep talking about that. Now, do you think God gave you this life as just a pop quiz? Like, all right, now if you do well here, you'll graduate on to second grade, where then you'll have a real life. And in that real life, it'll be super boring. There'll be no challenges. You just sit around on the clowns all day with this Cupid thing or whatever he is with the wings in the back, but then he does the harp thing. And if you listen to the Bible, the Quran, and all these religious texts, there's always streams of water and grapes and dates and stuff that was around in the Middle East that I guess they liked back then. I don't know. Is there any banana cream pie? That sounds terribly boring. Life is not a pop quiz.
I like
banana
cream
pie. Maybe God gave you life so you may live it. Interesting. But he doesn't agree. He says, if the historical accounts of Jesus' resurrection are true,
they're not.
Anyway, then we have proof that our 80 years here are just the first life. We have proof that there will be a second life. Proof, really. Oh man. It's going to be over just like that. So it's a bit of a shame. I wish there was like a 5 seconds that I'd pop into their heads like, what now? And then lights out. Yeah, that sounds super scary, doesn't it? But unfortunately, there is no second life. You wasted the one life you had having biblically correct sex and living a super boring life because you thought there was a sky god testing you. Oh, look, he did that wrong. I shouldn't have done that. Oh, he had fun there. Can't have that. Oh, no. And at the end, what happened? Wow, sick did I ruin the one life that I had. Okay, again, I don't happen to believe in the religions, right? But if you believe in God, aren't you cursing him by not living the life he gave you? Even if you think you got 28 lives to go, shouldn't you live the first life that he gave you? Nope. This guy says, but if you can live twice, use your rational ability to plan for that second life. How about you use your rational ability to plan for this life, the one we know exists? All right, he says, folks, the bottom line is this. Drake and Lil Wayne are wrong, and Jesus was right. You can live twice. Now you see one of the many reasons why I'm opposed to religion, right? Because they tell people this, and people literally waste their lives thinking that there's going to be a whole nother one. I mean, I see kids in all sorts of fundamentalist outfits all, you know, across the country and even in L.A., and they wear their hair this way, they wear that hat, they wear this hat, they got things hanging out of their clothes, they got old Russian coats, they got the you know, women wrapped up, etc. And they're just under all those clothes and wrappings, and they're like, oh my God, I can't wait for the second life. God, wouldn't it be great if I had another life? Actually, you do. This one. Take the burqa off. Take the old Russian Orthodox Jewish coat off. God is not going to do a fashion show up there. He's not going to be like, oh, you wore the wrong clothes. Sorry, you weren't fierce enough. You go to hell. Just live the life he gave you. So these guys are grossly misleading you. It's not just funny. It's not just, you know, laughs here. It's real because a lot of people believe that you should hang around waiting for a second life that I think, and a lot of people think, and rational thought leads you to believe, is never going to come.
Now, that diatribe came from Zink, who's on the Young Turks, who's actually a Turk. But as far as logical, he's totally logical. And I am swamped with these people he's talking about around here. It's unbelievable, the letters they write to the paper. They go on and on and on and on and on about this stuff. So I usually poop in the punch bowl and put one back in that says just the opposite. And that keeps all these crazy-ass people away from me. Well, here's something that should get you all excited about a young white man. Very white man, very Aryan-looking, very blue-eyed. Huh. Brian Lee pleaded guilty in federal court to 4 counts of violating the civil rights of female motorists and 1 count of engaging in cyber stalking. The 30-year-old Lee admitted that he offered to drop criminal charges or traffic tickets against women he stopped in exchange for sex. This is why we need legalized prostitution in this country. Some of the victims were under arrest or handcuffed at the time, and he also photographed some of the incidents, investigators said. Lee, who served the Ohio State Police, boy, I'll tell you, there's a lot of shit comes out of Ohio. Anyhow, from January 2006 to October 2013, also harassed and sent threatening electronic messages to women he pulled over twice in a month. A lot of this comes, too, with men being raised without fathers. There's definitely a link there. An investigation of Lee began during a routine review of his dashboard camera recordings, which revealed inappropriate conduct with a female driver and passenger he stopped for a traffic violation. State police found additional instances of administrative and criminal misconduct by Lee, who lives in Lancaster, Ohio. He resigned at the start of the investigation. Sentencing has not yet been scheduled. But it's such a shame to see this kind of stuff. This guy, they had a picture of him here. Good-looking, Aryan young man, blue-eyed, the whole bit. Being a bullshit crazy guy. And that's the part of our race that needs to be eliminated. Yes, there's a large percentage of white people that need to be eliminated. Oh, you think that's bad? How about this? Feds, New York City white cop plotted with a woman to molest her baby, and they recorded it all on Skype. We're going to have to face this kind of stuff instead of trying to blame it all on other people doing that kind of stuff. A New York City police officer, a white one, and a woman from Colorado were indicted this week for conspiring online to molest her 1-year-old child. Sergeant Alberto Randazzo was arrested last year on charges of using a child in a sexual performance, promoting sexual performance by a child, and possessing a sexual performance by a child. But New York court documents obtained by the New York Daily News describes in detail the shocking 2010 Skype video chats where Kira Norton carries out sex acts as Randazzo instructs her. At least 11 Skype video files were discovered by investigators. It was not clear why the woman agreed to molest her own child, according to the Daily News. Both Randazzo and Norton face up to 15 years in jail if convicted. Watch the video below from the CBS News broadcast. Well, let's see what they got to say here. Okay. All right, any time now.
Please choose a sponsored video. Your content will begin shortly.
I don't want a sponsored video, bitch.
We begin here at 6 with an NYPD shocker, a police sergeant busted on child porn charges.
And prosecutors say he did a lot more than just watch videos. CBS 2's Jessica Schneider live in front of Crean's Criminal Court, where the sergeant just faced a judge. Jessica?
Well, Dana and Chris, Sergeant Alberto Randazzo is a 15-year veteran of the NYPD, but now the DA here in Queens says that Randazzo has been watching and even producing child pornography over the internet since 2010. Sergeant Randazzo, police say you were directing child porn. What do you have to say? Anything to defend yourself? The 36-year-old police sergeant staying silent amid a slew of charges that he possessed child porn on his home computer and even used internet chat rooms to instruct an unidentified woman how to perform sex acts while in bed with infants and toddlers. Prosecutors say Alberto Randazzo would sit in front of his computer and communicate with the woman via video chat. Law enforcement is still investigating who that woman was or where the alleged child porn took place. Randazzo's mother and stepfather were in court where he was arraigned on 56. Seven different counts involving child porn. If convicted on all charges, he could face 15 years. Randazzo is being represented by an attorney from the Sergeants Benevolent Association.
And our firm just received a copy of the charges. We're still in the process of investigating them as well. And until we do our due diligence, it's inappropriate for us to comment.
And Randazzo was arrested yesterday. He's now suspended without pay from the NYPD. Investigators also seized his cell phone and several flash drives. They're searching those, and if more evidence results, there could also be more charges. We're live in Kew Gardens at the Queens Criminal Courthouse. Jessica Schneider, CBS 2 News.
Jessica, thank you.
And here's another story about a beautiful white family that supposedly were poisoned up in Utah. Now, I'm going to give you odds that these were Mormons or some religious sect, and they went crazy with religion and ended up the whole family being committed suicide. That's my opinion. I'm sure there'll be more news coming. Police believe two parents and three children found dead inside their Utah home weeks ago likely died of poisoning, local media reported on Wednesday. The five people, including children between the ages of 11 and 14, were found on September 27th at their home in Springville, about 45 miles south of Salt Lake City. The bodies of Benjamin and Christy Strack and their children Benson, Emery, and Zion, that's a clue right there, were each found lying next to a cup of colored fluid, according to Salt Lake City Tribune and the Deseret News, which cited documents filed in court by the police. A police representative reached by phone said no one was available to comment on Wednesday. Quote, it is probable that these deaths were not accidental or natural in any way, an officer wrote in a search warrant affidavit for the home, according to the Salt Lake Tribune. Another search warrant document was police believe that the family members died of poisoning, the Deseret News reported. Let's see here. The local media reports did not indicate that police have conclusively determined who might have poisoned the family members. Duh. The family lived in a duplex, and the residents lived in the other home were unharmed and did not report hearing anything unusual that day, a police lieutenant said at the time. The Stack family's lone surviving child and his grandmother entered the home and discovered the bodies, according to the Salt Lake Tribune. Now, this is another case of religious fanaticism. I'll bet you anything. I could see no other reason. They decided that it was a terrible world and this life was terrible and they'd want to go see their maker, all that kind of stuff. And they think they did, but I don't think they did.
Husband, wife, and three of their children were all found dead inside their Springville home last month. Tonight, we've got new information from search warrants released late today.
Those documents reveal the cause of death was most likely not an accident, as originally suspected. Fox 13's Robert Boyd is live in Springville with more on the story. Robert.
Good evening, Bob and Hope. Earlier tonight, we obtained a copy of the search warrant in this case. And according to police, they found a lot of medication at the scene. They also found a strange red liquid. Now, at this point, they can't rule on the cause of death until they receive the toxicology reports. It's just something looking at. Benjamin and Christy Strack, along with their three children, ages 14, 12, and 11, were all found dead inside the parents' bedroom on September 27th. The bodies were discovered by Christy's mother, Valerie. According to the search warrant affidavit, Christy and Benjamin were lying in the bed, and the three children were lying around the bed, covered in bedding up to their necks. Officers reported there was a red liquid substance coming from the mouth of Christy Strack. All the occupants of the home were non-responsive. Next to each of the victims was a cup/drink with a liquid inside. Originally, the deaths were thought to be caused by a carbon monoxide leak, but the fire department ruled that out. According to the affidavit, police also asked Christy's mother about the possible cause of death. Valerie replied, stating there was no carbon monoxide leak and that she knew her family. Valerie also replied that she couldn't believe that she would do this to the kids. Officers tried to clarify Valerie's statement, but she only assured them it wasn't a carbon monoxide leak. Police also collected multiple medications from the scene, according to the affidavit. A black bag located in the exterior trash can at the residence contained 10 open and empty boxes of nighttime cold and flu medication, approximately 9.5 blister packs for cold and flu medication, 2 empty boxes of allergy relief medication. Also located within the residence were empty bottles of liquid methadone. 1 computer and 3 cell phones were also taken from the home as possible evidence. Now, according to the affidavit, police first on scene believed that the cause of death was most likely poisoning all along. However, again, that cannot be confirmed until the toxicology reports are come back, and that probably won't be for at least a few more weeks. Live in Springville, Robert Boyd, Fox 13 News, Utah.
Robert, this is stunning new information. Were you able to speak with anyone from the Strack family tonight?
Yes, Hope, I did speak with Bob McGee on the phone. He is the family spokesperson. He's been speaking with us throughout, and he said that he actually wasn't really all that surprised about the information that was in that search warrant. I asked him to give me more details what he meant, but he wouldn't give me anything else.
All right, Robert, thank you.
Well, 5 white Aryans who lived in a nice-looking home, had a couple of upscale cars, commit suicide. What do you think? In Utah. Now, the Mormon cult will try to play this down, I'm sure. We may never hear any more about it back here in the Midwest. But you're going to find this was a religious fanatic suicide. Sort of like Jim Jones and all these others that happened. So, but there we go. 5 beautiful Aryan people driven to suicide by Christ insanity. And if we find out there is another reason for this, or somebody in some way arranged for them to kill themselves for other reasons, then I'll retract this. But I put it on the Mormon religion, the Mormon cult. Of course, don't misunderstand me. All churches are cults. And there's probably a cult within a half a mile of where you live. They're on almost every corner. Mind control centers and cults. And it doesn't make any difference whether they're labeled Christian or Jew or Islamic. All the Abrahamic religions are cults. You know, a lot of this stuff going on inside Russia is simply capitalist oligarchy, control for oil and so forth. A Russian court orders seizure of oligarchs' oil stake. Well, there's big fights going on inside Russia ever since the elimination of the Soviet Union, so to speak. But you've got one of the leaders of the KGB, President Putin, who's up to his neck in jockeying this capitalist oil, gas, everything else. So be very careful who you listen to about this kind of stuff. In other words, it's hard to pick out the actors in this thing. A Moscow court on Thursday ordered the nationalization of a stake in an oil firm held by a detained oligarch, raising concerns about signs of a state-orchestrated grab of assets. Well, usually those assets, they'll be grabbed and then somebody else is going to end up controlling them. A judge at Moscow's arbitration court ordered the return to the state of the stake held by billionaire Vladimir Yevtushenkov. And you can say, well, he's a Jew. Well, I don't know if he's a Jew or not. Holding firm Sistema in oil company Bashneft. This followed claims by prosecutions that the stake was illegally privatized, Russian agencies report. Well, there was all kinds of that stuff went on after the Soviet fell. It's very hard to figure out who's on top, who's on the bottom, who's telling the truth. And I don't think that I don't know for sure who all the players are and what they're playing about. But I do know I don't trust either side in any of this kind of stuff. Most of the time it's purely a struggle between big power people that have these oil things, oil fields and so forth. If the state nationalizes it, it may be on the way of being re-taken over by some other oligarch that they've got to deal with. Who knows? The following claims by prosecutors that the stake was illegal privatized, Russian agencies report. Now, we got a whole bunch of right-wing Americans and Canadians that are firmly behind Putin, just like they believe everything good about Hitler. They jump too quick. They're too easy to take sides. I certainly wouldn't take the side of Putin or the people he's fighting because I don't know. And I don't think it has anything to do with our struggle for the salvation of the white race. And I'm talking about the good white race, the working class, and so forth. So don't get drawn into this thing, you know. Like these guys going from Britain and Germany and all of France, they're all going down there to fight on the side, really, of the EU and the oligarchs in Ukraine. How stupid can that be? And they call themselves neo-Nazi, or at least other people are calling them neo-Nazi. Maybe they don't call themselves neo-Nazi. But why would a national socialist want to leave their white countries that are becoming non-white, where they should be doing their fighting, and go to Ukraine and support a government of a billionaire president who is a rotten crook, and also all the Jews down there in the Ukraine, because remember, Ukraine was filled with Jews a long time ago. They're all over the place. And then you got the other side, Russian patriots running out there, you know, they want to do something for the poor Russian people living in eastern Ukraine. Well, sorry, boys, but I don't necessarily back that kind of stuff either, because it ends up with a lot of white people dead, their houses blown up, their businesses destroyed, whole communities gone. I don't hear these guys in the right wing saying anything about that. It's simply, oh, I'm on this side or I'm on that side, or let's get them. They don't talk about all the human costs of this and whether the human costs and the civilian costs are worth it. Think about it. Now, here's a world-shaking story. Anonymous White House criticism of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu that drew condemnation in Israel is roiling Washington politics. Well, of course, because half of Washington or more is controlled by Jews. Putting the U.S. administration on the defensive and prompting congressional demands for President Barack Obama to repudiate the remarks. See, the Republicans and a lot of the Democrats will jump on something like this, trying to make hay with the Jews to solidify their office and term of office. So, oh my God, if we side with the Jews and Israel, I'm going to be in good shape. The Atlantic quoted an unidentified administration official who used profanity to assail Netanyahu and complained about his settlement policies in the West Bank. Well, that son of a bitch Netanyahu uses that kind of language about our government and our alleged leaders, but when it happens to them, they cry crocodile tears. Fuck you, Netanyahu, nitwit. The official also questioned the Prime Minister's commitment to Middle East peace efforts, as well as his resolve to launch a preemptive strike against Iran to thwart its nuclear program. Of course, he's a warmonger. Netanyahu, nitwit, is a warmonger, pure and simple. At least half of the people who live in Israel, and a lot of them want peace, they believe that too. The incendiary comments come 6 days before the elections, with Democrats struggling to hold on to their Senate majority and taking steps to boost voter turnout as typically low-interest midterm contests. The remarks also come against the backdrop of, just a minute here, I got to move this. Come on down here, baby. Backdrop of negotiations involving the United States and other Western power to secure a nuclear agreement with Iran. That's the strangest fight I've ever seen. Iran has every right to have a nuke. Everybody else has, and here is Israel with hundreds of nukes. I mean, it's and they want to go to war with Iran? I think Iran's probably could be one of our best allies if we need allies, and that scares me too. The remarks also came against the backdrop of negotiations involving the United States and Western powers to secure nuclear agreement with Iran. I just read that. Stupid. The high-profile diplomatic flap, all based on anonymous opinion. This is anonymous opinion. There must be a microphone under every chair in Washington. That goes right to Tel Aviv. Well, you said something bad about our leader, our fucking leader. Underscore the already tense relations between Obama and Netanyahu, and I give Obama respect for whatever disrespect he gives to Netanyahu. And it might make a lot of right-wingers mad, but I think Obama basically was trying to keep us more out of boots on the ground than anybody else, so call me a nigger lover. And Netanyahu, despite the decades of close ties, incestuous ties between the United States and its Mideast ally. In other words, United States the whore, and the Israelis being the pimp. At the White House, spokesman Josh Earnest insisted Wednesday that the remarks did not reflect the administration's view and were counterproductive. In other words, he went against his own boss. Quote, the prime minister and the president have forged an effective partnership. They consult closely all the time. They love each other and frequently, and did so as recently as this month, right here in the White House in the Oval Office. Yeah, but you don't know what they said inside that Oval Office. Earnest said that the close relationship does not mean we paper over our differences. Oh, no. The fact is, the United States has repeatedly made clear our view that settlement activity is illegitimate. Well, why didn't you do something about it? Just talking about it don't change anything, and only serves to complicate efforts to achieve a two-state solution in the region. Well, I got a clue for you. Pull out your support to Israel, pull out your support to anybody over in the Middle East, and keep the money here, and quit robbing the people of the United States to bolster Israel. Sounds good to me. Be friendly to all countries that are friendly to us. and don't just buy them off to get that friendship, because that's all we're doing now. It's called dollar diplomacy. It's been called that ever since the 70s or the 60s. We just buy leaders, install dictators, buy leaders. That's all it is. Well, that's about it for today, boys and girls. I've said my piece here at my new podium, and now I'm going to check out. Don't forget, 14:5, I have nothing to say. And keep your pie hole shut, because you have enemies everywhere. Not real bad enemies, but people who hear what you say and may pass it on to people you don't want to hear about.